Welcome to the Casting Dreams podcast. I am one of the hosts, Jonathan Eaton, and with me is Patrick Anderson.
Hello.
Patrick, hi.
Hello, dear friend.
This is something that we've been talking about doing for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it's a Dreamcast podcast. It's a podcast about the Dreamcast and Dreamcast games. Because I think we both agree that it was the best console of all time.
Definitely. I would say definitely the top three for sure.
In the top three for you?
For me, yeah. Yes.
But very underrated in its time. And now it's kind of like a collector's thing. And it's crazy that it's been 25 years. That's it's awful.
I'm not getting old. You're not getting old.
No, it's fine.
We're fine. Yes.
So, if you're listening, welcome to this new podcast. This is the first episode. We're going to talk about the Dreamcast itself, the console, this episode. And I'm sure we'll talk about games. We'll have to mention something. But we're not going to talk in depth about any games this time. We're going to be coming back and talking about not every Dreamcast game, but like the best ones, the most important ones.
Yeah.
The ones that we like the most, for sure.
The ones that count.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. I guess I also wanted to preface this by saying, have you ever listened to the James Bonding podcast?
No.
It's a podcast hosted by Matt Gourley and Matt Myra, and they talk about James Bond. And it's like similar vibe where it's like every episode they talk about a movie, and they've done it a whole bunch of times now, so they've talked about like the same movie like three or four times. Mm-hmm. And it's great because they say pretty early on that they're lovers, not experts. So like they don't have all the information, but they just love James Bond. And that's how I feel about us with this podcast.
Yeah.
We're not experts. I haven't studied like any of this. We've experienced some of it, but like I've done a little bit of research. I haven't done a ton of research because it's one of those things where if you really wanted to know, you can go on Wikipedia and read about all the specifications of how a video game console is built. Shit, that goes over my head completely.
Same here. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's plenty of anecdotes also that I probably don't. I'm not going to have, we're going to be talking about our experience and with the Dreamcast. And I think that's probably good enough. It's good enough for me.
It's more about emotion, Jonathan. It's like you said, the heart, emotions, feelings that I feel like is really universal, you know, from touching the controller, using the VMU, interacting with your friends online. Online console. So, well, one of the first, but yeah, I mean, there's just, I mean, and I know we'll talk about it, but there was nothing more exciting than the first day it was released. It was so exciting, and getting home and turning it on and hearing that, loud ass motor running a game.
Oh, you can swear as much as you want, Patrick.
Thank you.
Honestly, I'm like, is it the loudness my Dreamcast has currently? Is that how
that's
loud
normal.
It was?
That's
is that normal?
Normal?
I'm just like, is this just really old or was it really this loud the whole time? My favorite part of running a game on it is beside the jet engine noise that it's making is the occasional like,
it's thinking.
So I actually feel like we're slightly ahead of ourselves because I wanted actually to start off talking about just video games. Talk a little bit about like the video game like generations. So what was your first video game?
It was probably the Intellivision. A console was made by Mattel Electronics. Mm-hmm. That was the first one. I wasn't an Atari kid. I was an Intellivision kid. But, you know, as we all know, probably the biggest one was Nintendo, the NES. Yeah. That was my first one.
Oh, you had Nintendo. So you had you were second generation console.
Yes.
I looked up a list because I think it's very interesting to see like what was considered what generation when. But so that okay, so that was your first in television, and then did you go on to like an NES?
Yeah, I went NES, then, I didn't have a Master System, the Sega version of Nintendo, but I had but then really from Nintendo and everything else that came out, I mean, TurboGrafx-16, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. I mean, I just tried to keep up as much as possible. And then, of course, I blessed you with this curse, when we met.
So that's what I was just gonna say. I feel like I'm an outlier for people for anyone my age because I didn't grow up with like an NES. I always thought that we weren't allowed to have video game consoles. But now I think when I think about it, I'm like, no, I think it's just my family really liked to watch TV. And if we had like a game console, then like my mom wouldn't have the news to watch, or like The Simpsons wouldn't be on. Like, the TV was like constantly on. So I honestly now wonder, I'm like, were we not allowed to have them? But I had a Game Boy. I did have a Game Boy. That was my first, not a console, handheld, but technically that was my first like video game thing that I had. And I played the shit out of Game Boy. And then all of my friends had video games. So whenever I would go to a friend's house, that was like the treat, and I would want to play their video games because like I'd go to a friend's house and they would have a Sega, and we were playing like original Sonic and Streets of Rage on the like Sega Genesis. And then yeah, like SN I remember playing like the Jurassic Park game on SNES at a friend's house, and then that same friend got the N64 when that came out. Didn't have I did eventually have an N64, but like feel like the first couple of years it was out, I didn't have one. And I remember my oldest brother Jason, his roommate had an N64. Like he moved out of the house and his roommate had an N64, and whenever I would go over there, if his roommate wasn't home, I got to play it. And
Sweet.
that was how I remember playing like Duke Nukem and that kind of stuff. Although I think Duke Nukem was on his PC, but still, like Mario 64 and all that stuff. But then, yeah, you are the one that brought a PlayStation over to our house and like left it.
You guys can borrow it if
Yeah,
you
you're like, you can borrow it. You're just
want.
like a drug dealer. Just like, here's a free taste.
Just trying to be nice, but yeah, I mean, because I mean, what, 1996? That was the big Resident Evil year. I mean, that was I mean, that's when really things took off. And that game still, I
Oh, it's
think
still
we
my
talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. Yeah, it's my favorite game of all time. I vividly remember you leaving your PlayStation at our house and me and Anthony playing Resident Evil, and dying constantly and never getting far, so like playing the opening of the game over and over and over again. And then you came over and you're like, right in the main hall in the first room you're in, there's a typewriter. You can save. So we're like, we can't get to a save room, we keep dying. You're like, you can save it right there, you fucking idiots.
With a smile.
But yeah, so okay, so you kind of are the reason I got into video games originally. I remember you also brought over your Sega Saturn. And because I remember borrowing me personally, because I think you let Anthony borrow your PlayStation. I would just play it in his room, Anthony, my older brother. And then you let me borrow the Saturn, because I remember playing the Saturn in my room. And I guess every game you had, you probably just like left it with me. Because I remember playing like Knights.
Burning
Oh, fucking
Rangers,
Burning Rangers. Yes, I was just like, what was that other one? Burning Rangers.
which is
Yeah.
now worth like $800. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My copy's going nowhere.
Good. Cherish it. Cherish it. So then, okay. So that leads us to the Dreamcast. Dreamcast came out. I have some facts for you.
Go for it.
Dreamcast came out originally in Japan in 1998, which I didn't realize. But I mean, makes sense. I just wasn't, you know, following international news, I guess.
That's not important.
Yeah, who cares? Who gives a shit? But it was released in November 98 in Japan. And then it released in September 9th, 1999 in the US. 9999. And the ad campaign, it was selling for $199. So the ad campaign was $9.99 for $199. Like, Jesus Christ.
That's beautiful. I mean, that's, you know, it's catchy.
It really, yeah, it really flows off the tongue. I think it's interesting that there is that much of a gap between the Japanese release and the US release. Like, that's great. Think about that happening today. That's impossible.
No.
Like, if Japan got a PS5, you know, what is this? Like 11 months before the US, it would be riots. I did see that it was because of a manufacturing issue and there was a shortage of consoles. So, or I don't know if that's exactly why it was so long before it was released in the US, or if it just happened to also be, it was kind of a shitty launch for Japan. They didn't have enough consoles. I don't think there were very many games for it at first in Japan. There wasn't Sonic. So Sonic also wasn't a launch game in Japan, which was a huge issue for them because that's their mascot. But the launch in the US was much better than the launch in Japan. We did get Sonic. There were 18 launch games. That also seems crazy now, right?
Yeah, that was...
To have that many?
That was incredible. I mean, I can't... Wasn't it one of the largest launches for a system to have that many games? I mean, because I can't think of any other system launch with that many games.
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. It was the first console with a modem, with a built-in modem and online play. So what you said earlier about it being like one of the first online consoles, it was the first one. At least like first one to market. But like, yeah, I don't remember. I definitely went online in the Dreamcast because I had that Quake game and it was horrible. It was a terrible experience. But like, I played online on a Dreamcast and I downloaded DLC, which is in 2000? Like, that's way before PS2 and Xbox.
Yeah.
Speaking of PS2 and Xbox, it's part of the sixth generation of game consoles. So that's PS2, GameCube, and Xbox. But it was the first sixth-gen console. It was the first one to come out, and it did have an edge on the other ones for a little bit. The ad campaign for it, first of all, this is the thing I was thinking about. Like, bits, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you also remember them, there being advertisements and stuff saying, like, it's the first 128? It's the first 128-bit system?
You know, I don't remember it obviously pushing, like, the... Super Nintendo and Genesis, like, you know, it's the 16-bit, I think because I used to get a subscription, I believe you did too, to the Sega Dreamcast magazine.
Yes.
And I think like one of the first issues or the second one, it was like 128 bits.
Yeah. I definitely remember hearing that. I feel like I remember that being a thing in like Electronics Boutique.
Now GameStop,
right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. EB. I remember there being like a demo system there. You could play like the Sonic Adventure demo. And I remember it saying like something about 128 bits. So yeah, NES is 8-bit generation. Like SNES is 16. Mm-hmm. Then PlayStation was 32, but N64 was 64. Mm-hmm. So then it was like, okay, so then what's 64 times? It was, yeah, everything's doubled. 8 to 16 to 32 to 64. And it's like, what's double 64? 128 bit. That doesn't exist. Every system from the N64 on has been a 64-bit system. I had no idea. I was reading about it. It was like,
card.
Yeah, they're like, it doesn't matter. The more bits, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's what the processing power is. So, yeah.
Sure.
I think that's hilarious because I was fully, up until my 39th year alive, I was like, oh yeah, no, it was the first 128-bit system. I remember.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also a console that's thinking, you know. PlayStation 2, it wasn't thinking. Xbox, it wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
But Dreamcast, it's thinking. You know, I mean, you can't, the bits plus it's always thinking, you know, as Sega claims it does. I mean,
Yes.
you can't compete. I'm sorry. No other console did that. So that's why
So
it's better.
what you're referring to, it's thinking, is the commercials,
Yes.
which I had forgotten about. But this brings me to, that's a perfect segue. I wanted to play a few things and get your reaction.
Oh boy. Okay.
So this is awesome. This is the launch commercial.
Oh.
Do you remember
Oh my God, yes. Holy crap.
this is the launch commercial. It is like super highly produced, real like Matrix as fuck. This lady in like a high-tech secure facility stealing some shit, some like secret tech. And there's screens everywhere that has this floating orange spiral.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my, I mean, I'm just in awe.
This also like unlocked a thing in my brain too when I saw it. I was like, oh my God, I remember this. She's trying to, there's a plane that crashes into like a radio tower. Oh my God, it's crazy.
Oh, she's
And
getting on a motorcycle?
she steals a motorcycle. Oh, this part's hilarious. She slams her motorcycle into some dude's car and flies off it. And then her. Oh, yeah. And then. Look at. I don't even. I can't even
Wow.
describe what just happened at the end.
Wow. Wow.
She.
That was incredible. Good find. Good find.
Cancel. She slams her motorcycle into some dude's car. Her body lands on top of a cop car. The thing she has stolen falls onto the ground and opens up, and it's inside, it's a fucking Dreamcast.
Yeah, top secret. And inside had
Oh,
Sonic and everything
yes.
else.
And inside, and like, yeah, and then the camera zooms into the Dreamcast, and Sonic is in there, and he's like, "We got her, boys!" And then like backflips into like a stadium full of video game characters, and then it's and that was it. So speaking of flying inside a Dreamcast,
Oh.
so here are just this is just like a sample. It's that first main commercial, and then here's just like a sample of what these fucking game commercials were like.
This is the day you've come
I
for.
mean, this is
Today is brutal, brutal. It's
really, really, really nuts. It's positing that inside the Dreamcast, there is this big floating orange brain, and it looks like the Guggenheim inside. There's like a bunch of different layers. And every single character from every single Dreamcast game is in there, and they're all just like having a party. And it's really, really insane. Sonic right now is a DJ.
Got tails and
There's a sumo wrestler and a basketball player on stage with him rapping.
Ooh, yeah.
Tails is dancing next to Dr. Robotnik. It's like a disco.
But like these graphics, I
Oh
mean,
yeah, they were insane.
in a huge jump from Nintendo 64. Like this is what I felt
Yeah.
like was like the next huge step in video game. Like
Yes.
huge launch. Nowadays, don't really feel that, but I
No,
could be
well,
wrong.
we've reached a point with video games now where it's like, yeah, everything looks incredible. Like all you can do is like incrementally more incredible, but like we're way past the point where, you know, it looked like this. We're like, it's incredible. And then we saw the next one. We're like, it's incredible. Now we're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, looks.
Yes, it does have better ray tracing. You're
Those rocks look like fucking real rocks.
right.
Whoa. I mean, you can't get any better than that, can you? Well, maybe on a PS6
This
or
commercial for Soul Calibur is just two video game characters making out in a car at a drive-in. That was how they were selling Soul Calibur. What the fuck? What? And boys, the tagline for all of these commercials is someone whispering, "It's thinking."
Yeah.
Which is really creepy.
Oh, but I mean,
but I had, but I definitely ads, remembered it. Man. Yeah.
I mean, this hockey ad, like supposedly hockey players from the game are calling this kid
on the phone. Oh, and then they hit on his mom. Look, she's like, "Oh my god. Ooh, hello."
Oh, oh my.
Don't mind if I do. Okay. So that's basically you should look these commercials up because there's a ton of them and they're all fucking insane. Okay. But they're not as insane as this series of commercials. I'm just going to start playing.
Okay.
And then you can get, I just want to see how you react.
Okay. Oh.
This is okay, it's gonna keep going. What we're watching is are Japanese commercials, and it's of this guy, Hidekazu Yukawa, and it's a series of commercials starring this guy Yukawa, and they're surreal. They are surreal as fuck. Like, the first commercial is him overhearing two children on the street saying PlayStation's better than Sega, and he's like, "Oh my god, oh no!" And then like he's distraught, and then he's like wandering the streets, and then some toughs beat him up, and then he like falls into his home clutching like a black eye, and then it's just like Sega. And
yes.
And so yeah, okay. And the commercials keep going. And it's like the cycle of the Dreamcast. It's like, we're going to develop the Dreamcast. And then it's like, we're going to launch the Dreamcast. And then it's, oh, the Dreamcast launched. That's great. And now he's like, I don't know, he's talking about the Dreamcast, the internet, online gaming. But it starts to go in this other direction.
The drama.
It is. Have you ever seen
these, honestly?
Have you ever seen the Long Long Man commercials?
It doesn't ring a bell.
It's these Japanese commercials for this this kind of gummy candy called Long Long Man. It's like long taffy, and they're incredible. But also, like, if you watch them in a row, it tells this like story. It's an ongoing story. But I'm like, every commercial picks up from the last one, and that's what these are doing. Each one's picking up from the last one. Now they've enlisted the services of, I don't know, I guess a hot young Japanese celebrity that people know about. So, okay, and what I should have said is this guy, Hidekazu Yukawa, he was the managing director for Sega. Like, that's actually him. This is not an actor. That's just the managing director of Sega at the time. And he had done some commercials before, so then they did this commercial with him for Dreamcast. And apparently, everyone in Japan loved these commercials, and they thought he was a really good actor. And they called Sega and were like, "That actor you have in those commercials is so good." And they're like, "That's not an actor. That's our managing director. So if you want more of him, you got it." And so then this series of commercials came out starring this guy. The one we're currently watching is him apologizing for not having enough Dreamcasts to sell, which is a thing that happened in real life. And then they just like, "Hey, let's make it a commercial for the Dreamcast."
I mean, you don't need, like, there's obviously media coverage for this, but how awesome for a company to actually be like, "Hey, you know, we don't have to go on the news or do any press. We're actually going to make a commercial about the faults we're having right now, and hey, we're with you." I'm like, that's, I mean, come on, Sega's awesome.
Sega is awesome. Was that it? That was it. Okay. It's a wild ride, for sure.
Yeah.
So good. So, okay. Those were the, like, ads lead up to the, lead up to Dreamcast coming out on September 9th, 1999. I was not allowed to go with you guys. You and my brother Anthony went to go pick it up at midnight. I had to go to bed.
Can I just tell you my experience with it? I remember I was at the University of Towson University, and it was obviously the day, and I reserved it in Annapolis, where you guys and where my mom was living at the time. So it was like, okay, it's a midnight launch, Towson to Annapolis, 45 minutes? Okay, I've got one more class to go in the evening. It was like art something. Mm-hmm. So I remember going to class, and I just had my notebook, and I was just drawing the spirals. Like, I was just doing this. Oh, my God. The teacher went, okay, for this whole class, we're going to watch this video. And one guy just got up in the class and started walking out. And the professor went, where are you going? He's like, oh, actually, you know, I've got a bachelor party to go to. And, you know, it's kind of important. And she basically put him on the spot like, oh, more important than your education and your future. And he kind of just went, well, I mean, she's like, sit down. So he sat down because thinking about leaving as well.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, okay, the lights are out. Just, you got another hour and a half to go. Just pretend that you're enjoying this video. But the whole time I was just thinking about the Dreamcast. And I remember the class was over. I hauled my ass to, your guys' house. And then Anthony and I, we went to Electronics Boutique. And actually, let me see if I think I might have it with me. I think I still do. I have the receipt.
Oh, my God.
From Electronics Boutique. I should have it. Yeah, here it is. So here is the receipt. Here, let me pull it out. And it actually had all the games that were launched.
Oh, those are the launch games?
Yeah. And I don't know if you can see
Holy shit, yeah.
And then you got, if you reserved games,
before
launch, they had these coupons for $5 off if you reserve this game, so they would check it off at the counter. But it was truly an awesome launch.
It was like, game launches used to be events. Like, I remember getting up at it wasn't a midnight launch. I think I got the GameCube the day it came out, and probably woke up at like 5 a.m. or something crazy like that, and like stood in line outside Best Buy to get a GameCube. Okay, read me the launch. What are the games that were available at launch?
Let's see. So there was Flag to Flag Racing.
What?
The House of the Dead 2.
Yes.
Sega Sports NFL or NFL 2K.
NFL 2K, yeah.
Hydro Thunder.
I remember Hydro Thunder. The boat racing. Yeah.
Mortal Kombat Gold.
Okay.
NFL Blitz 2000. Ready to Rumble Boxing.
Yes.
Soul Calibur. Blue Stinger.
Which is crazy that I didn't know that was a launch game for some reason.
Yeah, actually, I ordered that at launch, but it wasn't available on day one. I had to go there like a couple days after. Air Force Delta.
They were like, it's too popular. Too many people want Blue Stinger.
Patrick, you're the only one. I mean, but yeah, it's just,
I am excited to play it again.
Oh, yeah. I never beat it, but I know it's a different time, but for us, obviously, it's the same guys that did Illbleed. So,
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's cool. I cannot wait to talk about Illbleed. Holy shit.
Just a full episode on Illbleed.
Oh my God, I have so much to say. I can't. Number one, I can't wait to play it again. That's one of the ones I think, if I had to guess, there's some of these games I'm going to be playing. Because that's the other thing is when we talk about these games, we're going to have played them like right before we record. So like all this experience is fresh in our, we're not just talking about what we did in 1999. I guess I should have maybe mentioned that up front, that like we both still have our fucking Dreamcasts and a bunch of games, and I'm getting more games and peripherals so that we can talk about them. But yeah, there's some games I definitely am going to like play some of to get a feel for and not want to like sit down and actually play the whole thing. And then there are definitely going to be some games where I'm going to want to sit down and play the entire thing. And I positive Illbleed is going to be one of those.
Yeah. And I know you played the hell out of it. I never, I loved it. And it was always the, gosh, I really want to play more of it. And yeah, I was growing up, I guess, maybe, I don't know, jobs or whatever. Girls. But yeah, girls. but yeah, I mean, that game, I remember just finding it. And of course, now if you have, because I still have my original copy and you have yours, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's,
I got rid of a lot of Dreamcast games, and that was, I was like, I'm never getting rid of this game. Even, I feel like even then I knew, like, I will, this is, they're never gonna port this. Like, I will never be able to find this again.
Yeah.
But okay, so Blue Stinger. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, Air Force Delta, Rainbow Six, NFL Quarterback Club 2000.
Okay.
Trick Style, which I think it was like a,
is that a snowboard
hoverboard,
game? Or yeah,
hoverboard like future game.
Yeah, some of these I definitely do not remember.
Yeah, man. Armada. I don't know if that was like Space Invader type game. Arrowwings.
Oh, okay. I remember Arrowwings.
Tokyo Extreme Racer. Power Stone, which that was a game I never got, but I know a lot of people loved Power Stone.
Oh, really?
Like it was kind of like a battle royale fighting game by Capcom. I need to try that.
Yeah.
Street Fighter, Alpha 3, Marvel versus Capcom. They have Resident Evil Code Veronica on here, but I'm like, no,
that was not a launch game.
That was not a launch game. But yeah. Yeah. So that's what they had, the official EB pamphlet with my receipt of. Yeah. Actually, I did the pre-order sale on July 8th of 1999 by Catherine, who was the employee who worked there at the time.
So Catherine, I wonder where Catherine is now.
If you're listening.
If you're listening, Catherine. Catherine, if you worked at Electronics Boutique in the Annapolis Mall.
Yeah.
In July of 1998.
Thank get you for in your touch. Service.
Thank you for your service. Thanks for selling. Thanks for selling me all of those Resident Evil toys.
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I'm trying to remember, we definitely had Sonic Adventure and House of the Dead 2 as launch games. With the light gun. I know we had the light gun right away.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't think we had anything else. We might have had Soul Calibur right away, or we might have gotten that later. I honestly don't remember. Don't remember having that right away.
I don't think I pre-ordered it, but yeah, I think we pretty much got it at the same time or something like
probably
that after. Yeah.
What games did you get at launch?
Sonic. I did order, I mean, yeah, I did eventually get Blue Stinger like a couple days after, so I'll count that. NFL 2K, because I do like football games. I don't really watch football, but I like football games. I remember getting four games at launch.
Did you get House of the Dead 2 also?
No, because I knew you guys were getting it. So I was like,
okay, nice.
Okay. You know what? We're friends. We can share.
Yeah.
I'll just come over to your place. You come over to my place. We got it. But yeah, I think I remember basically Sonic, NFL 2K, Blue Stinger, and then there was one more, but I can't think of it right now, but it'll come to me at a later time. But
A funny thing I read about the sports games was that EA was pissed at Sega for the way they developed the Dreamcast. Something along the lines of like the internals were like hard to develop for. And it got to the point, I think they were like, there was a tech team in Japan and America, both Sega, that were like working on new like console kits, and the one it was I don't think it was like an Intel chip or something like that, but basically the one in America was the more favorable one, and okay. It's what EA wanted to use, and then the team in Japan was like, no, we're going to do this one instead. And it was like harder to develop for, and so EA pulled out of ever releasing any games on the Dreamcast. So EA never released any game on the Dreamcast, which is why those sports games like NFL 2K, NHL 2K, and then the what's the basketball one called? NBA 2K. I'm not a sports guy, if you can't tell.
But they were all great. I mean, they were...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah, I remember for the NFL series, when the Dreamcast went out, Sega became then what they are now, a third-party game developer.
Yeah.
And a lot of people preferred the 2K football and basketball games rather than
Madden.
Yeah. But and they actually sold their games brand new for like $19.99 rather than full price like Madden or any other game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was always on board. I'm like, $20? Hell yeah, I'm going to buy it. So they were really smart. But Madden just became more of a, we're going to buy all the rights, so you guys can't do this. So yeah, Madden's so sweet. But
well, you know how great EA is to everybody.
The best. Yeah. I do like Dead Space, but yeah.
I love Dead Space. But yeah, I mean, that's an outlier.
Big no-no.
People were mad recently about the new Star Wars game that's coming out. Oh, actually, I think that's Ubisoft and not EA. But still, it's still the same type of bullshit. People were mad about them being like, oh, there's a deluxe collector's version, and it's like $100, and it includes this a mission that you can only get with this version, but it's available day one. So people are like, how dare you do this kind of thing? And I'm like, first of all, they do it because because we keep paying for it. So,
yeah,
I mean, they're not going to stop doing it. And I'm guilty of, I mean, like, yeah, I will buy the shit usually. But the other thing is just like, they've been doing this for so long.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll ever, well, it's like, you know, Activision as well. And, you know, certain game developers and, of course, you know, other. And it's just really interesting. I won't go too much into it because we have Dreamcast, but it truly is amazing where this industry is going, and online comments and sharing personal feelings. Like the game Stellar Blade for PS5. I was kind of interested to be like, oh, OK, this sounds interesting. And then just kind of how it's blown up. I'm just like, no, it's fine.
I don't know anything about that one.
Yeah, I guess it was really, it's interesting because a lot of first party, you know, Sony or Xbox, if that even exists for Xbox, but Sony, you know, having its first party, you know, I think they've only had what, maybe, and don't quote me on this, but like definitely less than 15 first party games for the PS5 so far in its life. So it's like, wow. Because they're spending all these times to obviously get it developed and all that to make it look. But still, I mean, yeah, talking about the Dreamcast and other games, it's like, no, these companies like Nintendo and Sega or whatever, they would crank a lot of first party games out.
Yeah.
And it was incredible.
The game industry is in a super weird spot right now. And it's bad, you know, bad spot. But like, it's funny. I know games take longer to make now than they used to, obviously, and you know, they're more expensive to make. But I don't, like, I don't know. I'm not in the games industry. It's crazy to me for it to take, you know, Starfield's a good example. I had a great time playing Starfield. I really loved playing it while I was playing it. Extremely forgettable. Like, once I was done playing it and I put it down and I played a bunch of other stuff, I just completely forgot that it even existed. And I was looking forward to it so much. I love Bethesda games, even though they're buggy as shit. But like, this took you guys 8 years to make.
Oh, wow.
Years. And like GTA 6 will have been well over a decade since GTA 5 came out. These games just keep taking like longer and longer and longer to make, to the point where we just watched the Fallout show. Have you watched that yet?
I watched the first episode. I haven't gotten the chance to, but of course I've never played the games. And that's
I'd be actually interested to see what your thoughts are on it, because I do think it's I think it does a good job for people who haven't played the games to get into it, but I'm curious.
Okay, good. I was getting ready for the you haven't played the games yet.
Oh no. I mean,
but yeah, but no, I'll definitely let you know, because that's definitely a good point. Like, you know, somebody who hasn't, you know, as a show,
yeah,
you know, the opinions on it. Very good production. I mean, obviously
it's so good. It's so as a giant fan of the games, I'm just like, wow, you guys fucking nailed every part of this. But like that, you know, we watched that, so then we're like, oh man, I really want to play Fallout. And the Fallout that they want you to play is Fallout 76, because it's the online one, and it sucks so hard. I tried playing it twice, and I just hate that game so much. So we were playing some Fallout 4. I literally went back to play Fallout New Vegas because I had never done any of the DLC, and I didn't like that game that much when it came out, and people loved that game so much. So I was like, I'll get another shot.
Yeah.
So I've been playing Fallout New Vegas, and what I wouldn't give for a fucking new Fallout game, and I'm not gonna get one if ever, like, until I'm in my 50s. Like, Starfield just came out. No one gives a shit about it.
Yeah.
They're gonna make Elder Scrolls 6, which, like, going by their track record, is gonna be, what, 7 years away at the earliest? If not, like, let's say 9, and then they're going to be like, and then we'll do Fallout 5. And I'm like, no one's going to fucking care. We will literally...
They're not.
Like, we'll have holograms by then. Like, it won't matter.
I remember the day when Fallout was a great series.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, yeah, that's right. The new one hasn't come out yet.
No. Yeah. Fallout? You mean from the pre-war? But yeah, it's just crazy how much stuff has changed. I mean, 25 years is a long time, but still, that's nuts. The other thing that's crazy about the Dreamcast, and for how fondly I remember it and played so much of it, is that it was around for less than 2 years. It came out in 98 in Japan. But for us, let's say, comes out September 99. I have the date. It was discontinued March 31st, 2001.
So sad.
That is less than 2 years, right? That math is right, right? Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I was, the story is basically they come out with a Dreamcast, in Japan, 98. Doesn't sell well. They don't have as much, inventory to sell how much they wanted to. So didn't sell a lot. Mm-hmm. Then it comes out in September in the U.S., sells better. It has a bigger launch in the U.S., but it still doesn't sell the amount that they thought they were going to sell. And then almost immediately after it comes out, PlayStation 2 comes out. And Sony already owned something like 30% of, a video game profits. In the U.S. and Sega and it was like Sony, Nintendo, and then Sega was like 12%. Sega was like almost nothing, and Sega had struggled to beat the competition Saturn. The entire time. I feel like the Sega Genesis was the only console they had that was ever super popular.
Well, and the Sega Saturn, I mean, it's interesting, is that that console was hugely successful in Japan. It's amazing how, obviously, with the PlayStation, like the pressure, I guess Sega of America or whatever was feeling, because when they pushed out the Saturn and now learning more than ever, it's like, you guys have so many games in Japan that were, you know, made in Japan. Why didn't you bring them over here? Or why a select few that you thought, oh, this would be good for the American audience? It's like, oh my god, this system's awesome. And of course, yeah, it did great in Japan, but here it just did terrible.
It did terrible, yeah. I think you were the only person I knew who had one.
Yeah. I think that was for a lot of people. You have one of those? You
have a Saturn? Yeah, I mean, we had a PlayStation. We didn't have a Sega Saturn. I think there were just more games for the PlayStation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there was tons. So
PlayStation 2 comes out, followed pretty soon by Xbox and GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just killed the Dreamcast almost instantly. Like, it, like I said before, lovers not experts, you could read, you know, all the information on online, but it was something like the sales just never were what they wanted them to be, and within like a year they were like, ah, we should just probably stop making this, right?
But you
they
know,
like fired the guy in charge, and then they were just like, no more consoles ever. We're never doing a console again.
I mean, I still have my... Do you still have your box for your Dreamcast?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, I mean, this is grade A.
Look at that.
1999, you know. Still have the inserts and all, and even the bags for the instruction manuals. That's how much of a dork I am.
The bags?
But, yeah, like, you know, the... this is the bag the console came in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, you have all that stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah, I got the cardboard inserts.
Wow.
And
so if you ever want to return it,
yeah, I mean, if I want to, I can still get a discount on the Dreamcast magazine.
Oh, is that Space Channel 5?
No, it's Sonic and Knuckles for Sonic. But yeah, I mean, this stuff. I still have the Xbox box. I mean, it's so sad. I need to get rid of this crap because I have too much crap in this room. But definitely the Dreamcast, like obviously doing the podcast and us talking about it, it really did have. It's definitely got a stronger following, I think, than it's. It always had a good following, but I think it definitely has a bigger mark. And
it's one of those things where, like, yeah, as time has gone on, people have been like, oh, it was actually very ahead of its time. And that's the games, and that's the main reason. I mean, like, yeah, this episode is just us talking about like the Dreamcast itself, but the main thing I want to talk about is the games, and that's like the whole reason we wanted to like do this like fun little project. Is just whenever we catch up and like talk on Zoom or talk on the phone, we still just end up usually talking about like Dreamcast games. Yes, because we're like, what are you playing? I'm playing this. What are you playing? I'm playing that. Oh man. Remember Samba de Amigo?
Oh, and by the way, yes, for if my dad and his wife are listening back in Centerville, Maryland, I want to say thank you very much for shipping my Samba de Amigo controllers.
Oh, they did?
They're on its way. So
awesome.
And after hearing you talk about it, I'm very scared to try it again.
Oh, start stretching now.
Very
start
scared.
Stretching because holy shit. I'm very excited to do that. I mean, yeah, what are some of the games that we're going to want to talk about? Obviously Sonic Adventure, House of the Dead 2,
yeah,
Soul Calibur, Samba de Amigo,
yeah. And I definitely do want to talk about Carrier
and Blue Stinger. Yeah,
Blue Stinger,
Ill Bleed.
Code Veronica, yeah. I think, I mean, that's where
definitely doing Code Veronica.
That's Tome. I mean, that's I don't know if they're gonna remake it, but you know,
God, I hope they do.
Go Dreamcast, that's where it was. Yeah. So
Virtua Tennis.
Yes, I was actually just looking at that. Virtua Tennis. There's so much to talk about. I remember you and your brother at your house. And just having all the different types of game rackets or tennis rackets, you can like
the one
you went everything on that
God.
Game. Yeah,
what, there was like a guitar and like a, or maybe it was like a banjo. I don't remember.
Master.
So I was just talking to David, our friend David. He didn't have a Dreamcast, but he was always at our house, so we would be playing, and we played Virtua Tennis. He said he wants to be a guest on that episode when we do Virtua Tennis,
yes.
Which I think is a great idea. And I was like, you should come over, because we're, you know, he's local to me. It's like, you should come over before we record and we can just play Virtua Tennis. And he was like, okay, but only if we can play as Philippoussis and Haas, because it's the only two characters we would play as. And I don't, and I was like, why did you always play as, I think he played as Philippoussis.
Philippoussis.
I was like, why did you pick him? Because, like, I'm curious. And he's like, oh, well, and he had a reason for liking the guy himself. And he was like, why did you always pick Haas? And I was like, because it was really funny when the announcer would go, Haas. It's like just dead-eyed announcer, Philippoussis.
And that soundtrack was awesome.
Oh
that
my God. Soundtrack just... for a lot of these games were awesome, man.
Yeah. But that one, I'm like, tennis, how are you going to get pumped? Let's do some awesome 90s rock. Okay, yeah. Cool. And it worked.
I think so many of those games had just like loud ass like rock soundtracks, including Sonic Adventure.
Oh yes, we will talk about that.
Oh, and Crazy Taxi. I mean, yeah, I want to save talking about these things for the episodes. But the music in Crazy Taxi, it was like two Offspring songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yahoo! Holy shit! Yeah. The only other thing I could think about to talk about the Dreamcast itself. And we don't have to talk much about it, but just like, there's the console. Then there's, you know, it had four ports for controllers. So there's the controller. What do you think of the controller? The shape of
you
it.
You know. I was actually thinking about that when I was replaying Sonic Adventure. And I think at first, when you first hold the controller and you start a game, mm-hmm. I think it, like, I have no problem with it. I'm like, you know, actually, yeah. It's kind of comfortable and feels okay. Obviously, the analog stick is that kind of hard plastic, so it can kind of dig in. D-pad's a little stiff. But initially, when you start playing, it's fine. But if you're playing it for long periods of time, the way you're holding it.
Yes.
It just feels like.
You're holding it like this, like you're holding your arm or arms. Your hands are like bent out instead of in. Like the PlayStation and Xbox controllers now are like ergonomically shaped so that like, you know, they can just lay in your hand. And then I think back to like the fucking like N64 and Dreamcast controller and the original Xbox, and I'm like, what were you thinking? Did you want me to have arthritis now? Like, God.
We're getting there, buddy. I'm very scared.
And then each controller has two ports in it for accessories, but the main accessory that you would stick in the port Patrick is holding up right now is the VMU, the visual memory unit.
Oh yeah.
I love the VMU.
It, just an awesome, incredible idea. I mean, yeah, brilliant. And it was, I remember, I think it was you or your brother trying to play Virtua Tennis on this, just not on the screen, but playing it on this.
Yeah.
With the controller.
Cause like, you could, couldn't you, right? Yeah, you could
play
like a little mini game. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, okay, so the VMU, if you don't know, it's the memory card for the Dreamcast. And if you don't know what that fucking is...
that's true. That's
consoles, video game consoles used to have memory cards because they didn't have... They either, you know, had internal memory... They either didn't have internal memory or they had internal memory that was so small you could save like one game on it. And cartridges have their own memory in the cartridge. Old ones do, at least. So that's why, you can stick my copy of GoldenEye in an N64 and play like the fucking 007 difficulty, because I 100%ed that shit and I will never in my life get rid of it.
It's going in your casket.
Seriously, it is going to go in my casket. So like PlayStation had memory cards, just little like pucks that you stick in the system, and it was like 8 megabytes, I think. Just fucking ridiculous. And I know PS2 had memory cards. I think Xbox also maybe had memory cards, or maybe it didn't actually, now that I'm thinking of it. It might have had internal memory.
Yeah, I had a hard drive. I know that.
Yeah.
I believe you could get a memory card for mm-hmm. the controller if you wanted to transfer, but yeah, that was kind of the big thing, like, oh, it's got internal memory.
Yeah, then everything after that had internal memory. You didn't have to stick a memory card in anything anymore. Although memory cards were kind of fun because you could take it over to a friend's house and stick it in their system and then play your game that you've unlocked all your shit in. So the Dreamcast memory card is this big chunky fucking guy that slid into the port, either port on the controller, but the top port had a little window in the controller because the VMU had a little LCD screen, and it looks like a tiny Game Boy. It's got like two buttons and a tiny D-pad, right?
Yeah. You could actually
four
just...
buttons, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. And so, like, not only does it save your games on it, when you plug it into the controller, it would usually display something while you're playing a game. Sometimes it's just like a little animation. And then sometimes it's actually like game information. Like in Resident Evil, it showed your health.
Oh, so you that was so awesome.
Look down at the controller and be like, caution. But then also games had mini games that you could play on the fucking memory card, which is nuts. Like, that was very cool at the time.
Yeah.
I feel like it doesn't sound that impressive now in 2024, but 25 years ago, that was cool as shit.
It was before the iPhone, everybody. So, yes.
You
didn't have smartphones back then.
So the controller and the VMU, I think they also had, because I was looking up, there's other peripherals that would stick in those slots. There's the C-Man microphone. And there's also, I think, a vibration pack. Because another thing I kind of didn't realize until I was playing again, I was like, oh, right, the controller doesn't just vibrate. So I must have had a vibration pack and just gotten rid of it because I don't have any.
Yeah, I don't remember actually getting one. But, they're probably, knock on wood, Dreamcast, like the systems or just like add-ons aren't too bad. But, well, besides Samba de Amigo.
Yeah.
But the actual games, obviously the more expensive thing. But yeah, maybe the Rumble Pack or, whatever.
Yeah, I should look that up.
See how much that is.
I'm curious about that. Yeah, because that's the other thing is, a lot of these games for Dreamcast had their own like crazy peripheral. The Samba de Amigo had the maracas. The Sima had the microphone. There's a light gun for like House of the Dead and probably Time Crisis was a on rail shooter. Any on rail shooter,
yeah.
So there's a light gun for that and
the keyboard.
The keyboard. Oh yeah, there's a keyboard and a mouse. I never had the mouse, but I had the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And a fishing rod. I didn't have the fishing rod, but I am gonna get one on eBay. Because I've been searching eBay for stuff. And then and the other nice thing is if like you're listening to this and you're interested in like getting into Dreamcast and you can grab yourself a system at like a retro game store, I don't know how much they go for, actually, the systems themselves. I feel like the games probably go for more than the systems, some of them at least.
Yeah, some of the games for sure.
But you can find reproductions of the games for a lot fucking cheaper than buying the game itself. So if you're not like into the idea of like being a collector and getting like the original one, you can at least get like a game to play. So that's what I've been doing, is buying reproductions in anticipation of playing them for this.
Yeah, that's actually what I've been doing. I had a pretty good, amount of games, but definitely ones I didn't get a chance to play, or even just games that the Dreamcast can actually run, like Alien versus Predator, the arcade game made by Capcom. I mean, that never came to Dreamcast, at least that I know of, but somebody was able to put it on to Dreamcast. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. And yeah, I mean, You can just go to eBay or Etsy or whatever.
Yeah, Etsy. Yeah, it's like I found a guy on Etsy. One of the things I was reading about the development of the guts of the Dreamcast was that the way it's built made it easy to port games to, like, I think PC games, but yeah, I guess like arcade games. But it made I guess it was difficult to develop games for, but it was easy to port games to because it was. I don't know, they could copy them better or something like that. So that's interesting, yeah.
And then, of course, the copy protection on those discs were terrible. So you could pretty much, well, as we
were
can
they?
See right now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a GD drive disc, which wasn't the same as a DVD disc. Obviously, DVD, you could store more. But still, I think the GD disc, I think it was maybe like 1.2 gigs or something. But yeah, from what I've gathered, there was like no copyright protection for like burning games. So
they're just super easy to rip.
Yeah.
I would love to know why D4 is unrippable.
Oh,
D2, I mean.
D2?
Yeah. I said D4 because it's four discs. D2, yeah, is a game that I would like to do, but if I'm going to have, do you have it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have it. I would need to get a copy, and I would need to probably drop about $100, I think, on eBay.
I could just mail it to you when I'm
No. Okay, first of all, don't mail it to me because you tried to mail me copy of Carrier, which came almost perfect, but slightly cracked, so I can't play it.
I was so pissed.
But it's fine. I got a reproduction, so I just put the reproduction disc underneath the cracked disc inside the case.
Oh, okay. So. There you go. All right.
Still good. I can't wait to play that again.
Carrier. Carrier. Yeah, that was... It truly is amazing, like, when you... And talking about Dreamcast or just retro games in general, if you haven't played a game in a while, you're like, oh, man, this game's going to be awesome. I remember it was like this. And then when you play it, you're like, oh... I don't remember, but at the same time,
I remember playing like dog shit underwater.
I remember that guy just, you know, yeah, walking really slow, or, you know,
oh my god,
there was. But at the same time, I maybe because, you know, getting older or just having a lot more appreciation for retro games,
yeah,
I feel like I have now than I've ever had. I'm like, no, I'm actually digging this.
Yeah.
Like, I like the same cheesiness of it. So
yeah, yeah. I have it's not like the I want to make like a better setup, but I basically have a little retro game setup in our basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I got like a little cart that's got my Dreamcast, my PS2, my N64 on. Sadly, Becca's NES died finally. It's completely dead. So we got to get one of those. I think you had told me about someone who makes NES or yeah, like a they're not NESs, but like they can read the cartridges because we have a ton of NES cartridges. They're all Becca's. But yeah, she's got like, I don't know, like 20 or so games. She's got shitload of games.
Then you need a new one. Yeah. Like you need a replacement for sure. Yeah. So I'll resend that to you because it's a good system. That's what I use. The ABS.
Like I also need to get a CRT TV.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm looking at the one I got from my wife's old Sarah TV. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually very excited to get my TurboGrafx-16. I have one that works through HDMI and that's cool and all.
Yeah.
But I want one to the, you know, RF connection or the crappy, you know.
Yeah.
Composite or whatever connection, because there is something special about that experience and working off a CRT. It's, and of course too, for you, it would, there'd be a particular game you need to get for that.
Yes,
CRT before.
Yeah. Spoiler, it's a light gun game. But yeah, is there anything we haven't talked about that you wanted to hit on about just like the console itself, the release, before we start getting into the games?
No, I mean, I think this was great. Just, you know, a trip down memory lane and mm-hmm. The console and just, you know, purchasing it, and then, you know, obviously spending time, and then of course, yeah, things to come. So I think this is great. This is a great start.
Cool. Okay, well, thanks for listening to Casting Dreams. The next episode, we're going to talk about Sonic Adventure, which there was nothing else that we could do first than Sonic Adventure. So we're going to talk about Sonic Adventure next time. So that was our first episode of our Silly Dreamcast podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Follow Casting Dreams on Instagram and TikTok. Follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook and Twitter. And subscribe to Casting Dreams wherever you find podcasts. We're everywhere, I think. We're Spotify, Apple, Amazon, YouTube. Our next episode is going to come out in 2 weeks. I think this is going to be a bi-weekly show, until we get to the end of the first season. And we're not sure how many episodes the first season is going to be, but we're going to get through a good amount of games. Then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to play more games, and we'll do a second season. So anyway, we will see you again in 2 weeks. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time when we talk about Sonic Adventure. Take it easy. Bye.